Remember, your brain is designed to react to sound, vibration. It's designed to release chemistry based on different frequencies. This is all natural. This is not like, you know, magic or pseudoscience.
Created live on Fireside.
Welcome, everybody. Today, I have a guest. It's been a while. Thank you for joining me, Maury. Maury, I don't want to mispronounce your last name. So how do you say your last name?
Zelkovich. And thanks for having me, Ray.
Maury Zelkovich, everybody. And oh, you're very welcome. It's been a while since I've had a chance to talk to you. And I'm always looking into different things to get the edge and, you know, drive peak performance. And I met you a couple years ago and we started talking, and I'm always very skeptical, but you always had a very good answer to everything. You've done your research, and then just talking to you, getting to know you, I learned more about what brain wave entrainment is, and I wanted to share it with everybody. Let's get started a little bit in the beginning. I usually ask all my guests, as a little kid, were you an active kid, or were you just kind of playing video games, if that was even a thing?
Nah, there was no such thing as video games back when I was a kid. I played a lot of ball hockey, a lot of football, a lot of soccer, tennis, swam, very active. There was nothing else to do, right? There weren't even that many TV stations. So we pretty much had nothing to do if we weren't outside doing something. I grew up in Canada with the snow. So there was some skiing involved, tobogganing, lots of hiking. Very active. Very, very, very active, actually. Didn't do any marathons, though. I broke my kneecap at an early age.
Oh, wow.
And dislocated a lot of bones and went through a whole ton of injuries. So I kind of got curtailed, but I was always very, very active, as much as I could be when I wasn't recovering in hospital somewhere. So...
Were you always also studying an academic since you got into brainwave entrainment?
Well, I was in school. You see, I spent the first 40 years of my life wanting to be dead. I was severely depressed. I saw doctors and clinicians and people, you know, psychiatrists and stuff. But back then, you know, 40 years ago, they didn't give pills for everything. They just said, well, you know, you seem to be coping well. That's about all you can hope for. And that's all it was. So I thought, why do I have to suffer? I couldn't keep going on the way I was. And even though I tried to kill myself 6 times that I can remember, I found that I didn't succeed. So if I couldn't find a way to die, I had to find a way to live. And that's kind of what started me looking for ways and means to help myself to feel better. I started off with the usual things you would expect. Alcohol, drugs, and sex. Those were the 3 things that I tried first. It made everything worse. And then I started looking in more holistic ways, if you will, to heal myself, to feel better. Mm-hmm. And eventually I tried hundreds and thousands of different things, none of which worked for me. That doesn't mean they're not good. So if you're out there and you try some of these things, you know, don't take my word for it that it's not going to work for you. It might just work for you, but it didn't work for me. So I had to kind of figure it out myself. I did come across this thing called brainwave entrainment near the end of my search, and it didn't help me either, although all my research said it should have. And I got even more depressed until I realized that it's never changed. And everything changes. In nature, everything changes. And when I realized it didn't change, I thought, maybe that's why I'm going through all this. Maybe I was supposed to find this and I was supposed to evolve it. I was supposed to change it. And I did. I mean, I went from someone who got out of bed every single morning, opened the curtains, crossed my fingers, and, you know, hoped that I would see mushroom clouds. Because then it would mean I didn't have to live through another day. To someone who wants to live forever.
And going back to, you know, saying growing up, you were very athletic and everything and just kind of very active. Were mm-hmm. you mentioning that you didn't want to live for 40 years of your life. Do you remember being depressed back then, or when did it start for you?
Oh,
what
yeah,
was it while you were active?
Yeah, I was depressed the whole time.
Okay.
Like, as long as I can remember from being conscious of my life, I was depressed. I heard thousands of voices in my head all the time. I felt like I was the reincarnation of Adolf Hitler, and that's why I was suffering the way I was, because I was paying the price. Yeah, as long as I can remember, I felt like crap. I thought everyone did, to be frank. I didn't even tell people how I was. I just assumed everybody was feeling the same way I was.
And when did you come across brainwave entrainment? Because I was trying to research it a little bit before the show, and some of the earliest things I could find was one, the first thing on YouTube was you that came out on some, some show from 7 years ago, which I listened to. And then there was another couple people maybe from 11 years ago. So this is not like brand new cutting edge technology.
It's been around for probably since the 60s. Okay. It's probably been around since long before that, actually, but it may not have been called brainwave entrainment at the time. You know, ever since people have been taking a stick and hitting it against a rock and making a beat pattern, that's kind of, you know, when you bop your head or tap your feet to a song and you're not doing it on purpose, it's just happening. That's a form of entrainment. So for me, what happened was I was on a camping trip with a bunch of friends. How I had friends is totally beyond me. I have no idea how I had friends. But I was there, and this was in the days when I was hyper addicted to pot, and I needed to be wasted to go to sleep. I couldn't fall asleep if I wasn't like really wasted. So everybody else had passed out already. I was drinking my second, third, fourth, last beer. It was around midnight or so. And I rolled myself a big fat joint, and I figured, you know, this should take me about half an hour to smoke. I did a lot of smoking by myself back then. So I smoked it, and I was sitting around the campfire, you know, my head was kind of down and, you know, just kind of getting into the tunes as much as I could and the buzz. And then the joint was over, and it was 4:30 in the morning. That was the very first time in my life that time passed fast. I'm 61 years old, but I feel like I'm almost 1,000 years old.
Well, like mentally, like you've lived that long?
No, or? I actually feel like I've been alive for 900 plus years. If any of you have ever been depressed for even 5 minutes, you'll know it felt like 5 hours. Mm. So that's why I feel like I've been alive literally for a millennium. But what I realized was, why did time pass so fast? Like, I was a little scared at first because it had never happened before. But then I started questioning, why did that happen? How did it happen? And I put two and two together. I wasn't really watching the fire, because maybe it could have been the flickering of the flames, but I wasn't really watching. But the wood was popping like crazy. You know, little air pockets in the wind, you hear crackle, pop, 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 crackle, pop. So I was hearing all these popping sounds, and I figured maybe that had something to do with it. So when I got back, I went to what was then called the paper internet, otherwise known as a library. And I started researching sound. Yeah, that's what I call it, the paper internet. So I started researching sound and its effects on people. And I learned that there's no such thing as sound, actually. It's just vibrations that get interpreted by the brain. But I was learning about neurotransmitters, endorphins, and hormones. And I was learning about how different frequencies and different pitch patterns and different beat patterns affected the psyche and psychology. And I was just learning so many different things. And ultimately, I put two and two together that that might be my ticket out of this hell. And I remember when I came up with my first recording, because you see, before I came up with any recordings or even thought to do it, I figured, you know, do what everyone else does. Am I really out of focus, by the way, or am I just going blind? Because it looks clear everywhere else, but I look like I'm out of focus to me here.
No, you're fine.
I'm okay? All right. So I tried everything I could find. There are lots of companies out there that make what's called brainwave entrainment, and nothing worked for me. I tried like as many companies as I could find. I just spent money and more money and more money, and none of them worked. And I got even more depressed, because at that point, you know, I've been researching for the better part of 40 years to try to find a way out of my hell. And I couldn't. And then I finally found this entrainment, which I thought was finally the key. And then it wasn't either. And that's when it struck me that everything changes in nature. This never changed. This has stayed the same since the beginning of time. You know, since they first came up with the idea of brainwave entrainment, it's been the same. Usually something called binaural beats. All the different companies did exactly the same things. They may have called their tracks different names, but they were the same. So I decided that I need to recreate it. I need to reinvent it because I was getting even more depressed thinking there's nothing left. I've tried everything there is. Now, obviously, I didn't try everything there is. You know, I mean, I don't think anyone could find everything.
Yeah, I think for the maybe the people that are a little bit into, I don't know what they would call it nowadays, new age or cutting edge possibly, but sure, binaural beats would probably be more well known.
Yeah.
And what do you mean by most of them record, or they all recorded the track in the same way? Like in the layman's way, where the average person who's like kind of knowing about binaural beats a little bit.
Fair enough. So what a binaural beat is it's a tone in this ear, like, and another tone in this ear, like, and let's say this was 100 hertz or 100, the frequency was 100, and this is the frequency of 20. In your brain, you're going to hear 20 pulses in a second. So it's kind of like a ghost image. And that's how binaural beats work. They were what was originally used and is still used primarily for brainwave entrainment. Brainwave entrainment is essentially the act of your neurons, which are your brain cells, following a frequency. That's all it is. It's like, so your neurons will start pulsing an electric pulse in tune with the way my hands are. That's essentially, or like that, or like that. The brain just follows those frequencies. The neurons release an electric impulse every second, actually a number of them. Depending on how many pulses per second the neuron lets out, that tells you the state you're in or that neuron is in. So when you hear people talking about delta or theta or beta or gamma or alpha, they're really just talking about how many times the neuron is pulsing that electric beat in a second. What that does is that when the neuron's pulsing, it's constantly releasing chemistry too. Things like endorphins. You would know a lot about endorphins. A lot of people who run know everything about endorphins because that's what they feel. That's the runner's high, right? Is from the endorphins. But there's also neurotransmitters, norepinephrine, you know, and others that are, you know, responsible for different feelings and how we act and react to things, and hormones. And depending on the chemistry or the chemical soup that gets created, that allows you to feel what you feel. So that's what brainwave entrainment is. If you're happy, if you're sad, if you're bored by what I'm saying and you can't wait for the show to end, or, you know, or you're excited and you're going, wow, this is all cool new stuff. That is a feeling you get because your brain has created neural activity that creates the chemical soup or the chemistry that is allowing you to feel that way. When you feel love, when you feel hate, when you feel excitement, when you feel tension, all these things are experienced because of chemicals that your brain produces to allow you to do it. Much in the same way that a computer program is a series of zeros and ones, and depending on how they're arranged, it gives you an experience on the screen.
Right.
Your life gets the experience by the chemistry your body produces and your brain produces. That's how you get your experience. It's not zeros and ones like a computer. It's actually the combination of ingredients that your brain produces. So binaural beats, the idea behind a binaural beat is to synchronize your hemispheres of your brain to make them do the same thing. Pulse, 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 pulse. And it can be very helpful in certain things. It can diagnose a brain anomaly. Like if there's a problem with your hemispheres, the way they're communicating, you won't hear the beat. If you're a woman and it's that time of the month, you won't hear the beat. You know, there's certain problems with it. So the other problem is the beat pattern is very subtle. It's kind of like a wave like that. Whereas the beats that I use are more like this. So they're much stronger. So what happened was when I was doing my research and I was finding mostly binaural beats, I wasn't getting a very strong effect. Keep in mind that I was really bad. I was in really bad shape. So I needed to make something particularly strong. Otherwise, I wasn't going to feel anything at all anyway. So when I realized that everybody else did everything the same, I realized for me, I either give up and I suffer the rest of my life, or I reinvent the wheel. And that's what I did. And interestingly enough, the first recording I did, I listened to it. It was half an hour long. Didn't feel a thing. Didn't notice a thing. I got kind of pissed off, actually, depressed. You know, it didn't work. Except I thought, well, it's the first time. I've been suffering for 40 years. I can't expect one time to cure me. But 5 minutes after it ended, I started hearing the voices coming back. And the only way, a reason why I know that is because I've never been without the voices. And that was the very first time in my life I didn't have voices. And that got me.
When you listen to the recording.
Yeah. And I only noticed they were even gone when the recording finished, and 5 minutes later, they started coming back. That got me really excited. I realized I was onto something, and I started creating a system. And then I created another system, and now I've got like 40 systems, 17 that are being released soon, 23 that have been released, and all of them with proprietary technology that I've developed. Because again, what existed wasn't helping me, but it was still the right idea. It just needed to be evolved. It needed to be changed. It's like an exercise routine, right? If it's not getting you into shape, if it's not accomplishing what you need to do, you need to change it.
That's actually a good follow-up, because just like in exercise, you know, heavier always isn't better or bigger. So what is the beneficial of having a bigger wave like yours versus the other ones?
Okay, good point and good question. So the thing is, it's kind of like driving your car. So the smaller wave would be like riding on a highway at 10 miles an hour.
Okay.
As opposed to riding on the highway at 80 miles an hour. The effect is far stronger on the neuron, on the brain, because it's the vibrational pattern is stronger. The amplitude of the signal, if you will, is stronger. With a radio, if the signal is so strong, the waves only travel so far. And if you're too far away, you get mostly static. But if the signal is really, really strong, it comes through nice and clear. It's the same thing with your brain. Your brain needs certain levels to achieve the actual effects of brainwave entrainment. And remember, your brain is designed to react to sound, vibration. It's designed to release chemistry based on different frequencies. This is all natural. This is not like, you know, magic or pseudoscience. This is just taking advantage of natural events that happen in the brain and in the body and how you've been designed to act and react. The lesser effect, because it's kind of a ghost image, it's not really a wave pattern. It's a false image that gets created inside the head as opposed to something outside, which is much stronger. And because of that, it's just weak. It's as if, you know, I mean, there was a time when you could probably only run a block. And then as you exercised more, as you ran more, now you can run marathons, and you're running what, like 20 kilometer marathons, you know, who knows how far. I mean, crazy amounts that I'm getting tired just thinking about you running and I'm sitting here. So it's the same kind of an idea. And I treat the brain like a muscle. So if we can get any muscle that gets stronger and better, means anything that muscle group can do is now more efficient and better also. Because everything passes through your brain for you to experience it, it's basically the CPU of your life. If your brain is stronger, everything that goes through your brain is going to be more effective, more efficient. You're going to be able to run better. You're going to be able to think better. You're going to be able to strategize better. You know, running, now I'm not a runner, but running can't just be the physical act of running. You're running in a group of hundreds of participants, or even 10 participants. There has to be a certain amount of thought put into this and strategy. How far is it? when do you push all the way? When do you just cruise? When do you sit in the person's backdraft? You know, there's got to be a whole slew of things that you're thinking about. Now imagine you're a runner that just runs, and you're going up against a runner that doesn't just run, but thinks when they're running. That's quite a difference.
Oh no, I 100% agree with you. I was just watching the other day on someone talking about Kobe Bryant and how he can break down a play and tell you, oh, well, this is going to happen. And he's thinking on the court. And that's what separates a lot of the average from the greats, the being able to think. And of course, that's going to lead me to my next question. Okay, so now you're pulsing the brain to get it to maybe learn better or do different things. How much control or how much pulsing can you do where you can actually, what's the capabilities of this? Is it endless?
Well, the question is, what are the capabilities of your brain? That's really what the capability is. I don't think there's a ceiling. I've been using brainwave entrainment like regularly now for 25, 30 years. I've been doing my research over 45 years, and I was doing it intermittently as I'm designing it then as well. I have yet to hit a ceiling. I keep getting ideas and ideas. You know, like 10 years ago, I was working on 20 ideas. 10 years ago, 30, 35 ideas. Now 50 ideas. And you have to understand, that's not 25 to 50. That's 25. I figured them all out. Now I'm on to 30 at a time, figured them all out. 40 at a time, figured them all out. 50 at a time, figuring them all out. It's like these ideas just keep coming to me now. They won't go away. I keep coming up. I have so many ideas and concepts. I just can't do them all right now. I don't have enough places to get them out to people. I have a system called Revitamind Ultra, which was initially designed for cognitive decline and seniors issues. You know, memory, cognition, that kind of thing. And it sat gathering cyber dust on a server, on a website for like, I don't know, it was something like 10 years. Because I couldn't get doctors to listen to me. I couldn't get anyone with cognitive issues to try it. So it just sat there. And then this guy, Dr. Dale Bredesen, who wrote the New York Times bestselling book, End of Alzheimer's, he came across my work and he started using it as part of his protocol called Recode. And now there's doctors and clinicians all over the world telling their patients, go buy this guy's brainwave entrainment system for it. Now, what I was leading up to was the fact that I have all these ideas. There's no point in doing anything with them if I can't use them to help people. Well, now that I have all these doctors and clinicians using my system, Revitamind, to help people, I have the unique situation where I was able to take new information that I had learned about Alzheimer's and dementias and things like that and include them, reinvent it, and create what's now known as Revitamind Ultra. Now, the funny thing is, I've since come up with new ideas and new research that I'm going to be adding to these things all the time. So it's just a never ending, you know, flow of ideas. I realize I've kind of gone on and on and on, but there's no limit to the potential that you have. I had a guy in Greece who called me up one day and he was scared because he swims to an island every day. I don't know if he still does, but he used to. He would get up in the morning, he'd swim from the mainland to an island, and then he'd swim back. And he said that this trip took him normally, I think it was 3 hours. And it took him an hour and a half, and he got scared because he couldn't believe, like, how did I only do it in an hour and a half? And I asked him, I said, were you thinking about what you were doing? He said, actually, no. And I said, do you normally think about what you're doing? Oh, definitely. There you go. You were in the zone. Using the recordings helps you to be into the zone. He said, all I did was hear beats. Like, that's all he heard. Like he heard the noise of the water because that's a nice background noise, but he heard bup, 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 because that's really the active ingredient in brainwave entrainment, a pulse tone. So he kept hearing bup, 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 and he was basically in the zone. He wasn't thinking about his stroke. He wasn't thinking about breathing. He wasn't thinking about anything. He was totally at one with the water, so to speak. And that explained his exceptional performance.
Looking into a little bit of brainwave entrainment to prepare to, you know, you coming on, I came across some information on binaural beats. It was very informative. I was like, sure, learning a lot. I was like, wow, there's definitely something to it. A lot of my listeners on the podcast, they love to talk. They love when I talk about music. So music, sure, beats, of course, is something very, I'd say, important. There's a big debate. If you should run, work out with music, you need an external, like David Goggins. I don't know if you know who that is. He's a big, like, do it, get it done, suffer, do what you got to do. And he doesn't really believe in external motivation, which would be like music. You should be able to hype yourself up without it. What happens when you don't have it? And so I know that music, as I kept looking into it, on the History Channel, they were talking about the shamans and how they would chant and get into certain frequencies. And from there, they actually said brainwave entrainment. So I'm like, there's definitely something to it. And I've been messing with some of the recordings got for me. And
did I ever give you Marathon Mind Trainer?
I don't think that one.
Contact me after and I'll.
Okay. After listening to all that, and I'm like, there's definitely something to it. They have shown scientifically that it can improve your mood, help almost like what you're talking about. You feel like a sense of loss of time because either you made something that was dreadful to you kind of pass by quickly. So there's definitely power to music and listening to it. And
it's your brain.
You dove deep into it. You were not only studying it, but did you actually start like producing your own music? Is that how you do? Because I saw some of the guys doing yesterday, how they were putting it into beats. That's like a whole different animal on the side as well.
It's not music what I do. It's vibration. It's sound.
Okay.
So basically, I have spoken word aspects. I have so many different technologies that I've incorporated. But in a very basic sense, you hear shh. Sounds like a white noise almost. It's actually 600 different frequencies overlaid on top of each other, mostly designed to block out external noises, because any external noise is going to get in the way of the entrainment effect on your brain. So like if you hear birds chirping or water flowing or, you know, cicadas, whatever, crickets, all that stuff's going to actually get in the way. That's one way you can tell if someone doesn't know what they're doing with brainwave entrainment. There's many ways, but that's one of the ways you can tell. So when you are listening to brainwave entrainment in my recordings, you have this 600 layer frequency that sounds like shh. The other frequencies that are overlaying in there actually hyperactivate different regions of the brain to make the entrainment tone, which is the tone you're hearing, bum, 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 more effective. And that bum, 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 bum is what your neurons do a monkey see, monkey do thing with. And they start pulsing at the same rate. So that in that way, I can help influence your neurons to give you the kind of results you want, because different thought patterns, different circumstances require different brain activity and to be much more efficient and to be more effective. We can guide the brain into those states. One of the major benefits, I mean, there's so many, but one of the biggest benefits I find over binaural beats with what I do is that because a binaural beat is a ghost image, you have one frequency here, and then it's the difference in the tone that you hear a fake beat with. It literally is a fake beat. Then you can only create one frequency. I can actually entrain the left hemisphere to a different frequency from the right hemisphere, because in reality they're separate.
So binaural beats, I think what a lot of people know that is like the let's say, for example, Calm, the application, is that Binaural Beats?
You know what? I don't like talking about other people's products.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad product or anything, but
I wasn't sure if that was meditation or
Binaural Beats.
Well, I don't create their products, so I don't know what they are.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of, I've seen a push more for Binaural Beats and also just meditation apps. It's something.
Yeah. Special. Binaural Beats, again, are old technology, but because it was kind of the first that got notoriety in the field, a lot of people kind of stick with them. But in my opinion, they're based on flawed science. And that's the real point here. I go after real results and strong results. I'm not interested in very subtle things. Binaural Beats, because of what they do, have been known to cause nausea and disorientation to people. As I believe I mentioned earlier, if you're on that time of the month, you're less likely to be able to perceive them. Not everyone can perceive a binaural beat. Binaural beats have their purpose. They're not useless, but they're just not really in training beats. They can be relaxing, and there's definitely, you know, bonuses and benefits to being relaxed, but it's not the superpowered benefits that you get from being actually entrained. There is a massive difference between being entrained and just being relaxed.
And you mentioned the results.
It changes your behavior. As an example, about 2.5 months ago, I had a cyst on my back for like 10 years. And all the doctors said, well, if it's not bugging you, leave it alone. And it's like a lump, you know, like a pretty big lump. And it wasn't bothering me, so I left it alone. Because like 3 or 4 doctors said, don't touch it if it isn't bothering you. And then about 2.5 months ago or so, maybe 3 at this point, I live in the moment, so time doesn't mean much to me. But, you know, a while ago, it got angry. Really angry. And I had to have it lanced. So it was draining and everything's fine. And like 10 days pass, it's still draining. But it's almost flat. And I figured I'm done. Now, because of the location on my back, I couldn't change the dressing. My wife had to do that. And she thought something didn't feel quite right. So I went back to the clinic. They examined me. And the doctor said, okay, there's a growth about 2 inches deep in your back. And I think we should take it out. And I said, okay, when? And the doctor said, how about now? And because he thought it was probably a good idea to get rid of it immediately. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay. I laid down on the table. He gave me a couple injections. You know how when you go to a butcher shop and you see them cutting the fat away from the meat?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I felt. No pain, because I had the needles, right? The sedation. But I could feel, like I could hear the knife cutting the meat, and I could feel what he was doing. He ended up digging out a quail size egg, about that big, from my back. And it was about 2 inches deep. And the whole time I was chatting with him while he was doing this. Now, the reason why I bring that up is not to gross everyone out, although I'm sure I did, but it's more to express that brainwave, like relaxation, makes you relaxed. But then if something happens, you're not relaxed anymore. Brainwave entrainment changes how you react entirely. Ordinarily, I'm the kind of person who would have freaked out. Uh-oh, he needs to take it out now. Not like make an appointment and get it done, but it has to come up now. And then what he's doing, like it's surgery.
Right.
It's not, you know, it's not like, you know, popping a pimple.
Right.
This is like real surgery. And I was totally fine the whole time. And my wife like was having a laugh at this because they had to leave it open because he had to dig out so much meat to get the growth out. He had to leave it open so that it would heal because it has to heal from the inside out. If he seals it up, like sews it up, it heals from the outside. And then all that happens inside is it's warm, it's moist, and it gets infected. So for like a month, I'm bleeding out of my back. My wife has to change this dressing all the time. And she's taking pictures. I mean, if I could show you these pictures, you'd laugh. There were times it looked like a mouth on my back. Other times it looked like an eye, like as it was healing and sealing up, it looked like an eye. And I'm looking at all this and I'm going, okay, whatever. You know, aren't I lucky that the doctor found it and got rid of it in time? And, you know, aren't I lucky that my back isn't going to have this growth on it anymore like it's had for the last 10 years?
The reaction that you're having.
Yeah, my reaction is calm and it's grateful. And it's not freaking out, and it hurt. I'm not going to lie to you. It hurt pretty bad. But, oh, well. This is brainwave entrainment. This is the power of brainwave entrainment. You just don't act like you did before. I had a friend who tried one of my recordings once, and he just tried it once. And then he drove home, and he said he felt nothing. You know, when he left, he said, I didn't notice anything. It felt like half an hour. It was half an hour. I heard all the noise, and all the noise he heard, he described, was there. No problem. I said, well, you know, clean water, clean air are the only two things that are good for everybody. When he got home, he called me. Maury, I was cut off twice by people. And normally I give them the finger and I yell and scream. I did nothing. I just let it go. This is my point. Brainwave, you're not supposed to be angry. You're not supposed to be upset. You're not supposed to be impatient. You're not supposed to be any of these things, stressed. You're not supposed to be anxious. All these things feel badly because feeling bad is nature's way of telling you you're doing and or thinking the wrong thing. If you feel good, it's telling you you're doing and or thinking the right thing. Nature wants you to feel good, doesn't want you to feel bad. If you break your leg, it hurts like hell. Why? Not to punish you, it's to make you go get it taken care of. These things happen for a good reason, not for a bad reason.
Well, I know a lot of people, of course, will be skeptics, understandably so, with everything going on nowadays.
Yeah.
What kind of results, as far as, I guess, scientific or studies, have they done that they've been able to say, oh, okay, this, since you have so many different ones where it actually, you know, they could say, oh, it helps for Alzheimer's or it helps for, you know, focus, different things like that.
Sure. Learning, education. There's actually new research that shows if you can get people in the same room into the same brainwave pattern, like in a negotiation, that negotiations tend to go faster, have better and more fair results. Also, if you get teacher and students in a classroom in the similar brainwave state, overall learning tends to happen easier and more effectively. All of these things we can do with brainwave entrainment. But, you know, why take my word for it? Obviously, I have a vested interest. Just go to Google Scholar. For those of you that don't know, Google has a scholarly search engine, one that isn't full of shit like its regular search engine is. Can I say that word, by the way?
Cool.
So if you go to Google and you type in the word scholar, you'll get as the first result Google Scholar. And then just type in benefits of brainwave entrainment. You'll get articles, scholarly articles. You'll get legitimate scientific research. There's tons of it out there. Brainwave entrainment has been out there and used for centuries. It helps with all kinds of things. You know, if you go to any of my websites, you'll see testimonials from people. But, you know, maybe seeing, you know, there's even two research papers that were done on my work. One was done by the Brazilian military in association with the Mato Grosso University there. And the only reason why they did the research was someone stole my original website. A captain from the military bought my program from the thief. And the thief, when he stole my website, actually stole my name and my picture too. And that's how the captain knew to contact me. So a theft turned into fantastic result for me because then I got a research paper. Because someone heard about the research paper, a college professor in Jamaica did another research study on pre and post math exam Both research papers, by the way, found incredible benefits from using the Mori method form of brainwave entrainment. Dr. Bredesen found my work online. He just found it by doing a search. And now doctors and clinicians all over are using it. So you can go to my websites. You can check out the, you know, what's there. But I would suggest going to Google Scholar, because then you don't think it's stuff that I'm making up, which I'm not, by the way. You know, I know it's easy to make up a testimonial, especially with AI now. Write me a testimonial here. Write me 50 testimonials here. You know, it's very easy to fake a testimonial, but I give free samples from my websites. I let people try things when I do webinars. You know, I don't want you to use it if it's not going to work for you. I went through 40 years of wanting to be dead. My main motivation here, yeah, I do this full time and this is my career and I need to make money. So yeah, I do have a vested interest, but ultimately I do this to help people to avoid what I had to go through. And if they are going through what I had to go through, I want to give them something that can hopefully help them get out of it faster. When you're in a state of depression for as long as I'm in, you feel very powerless. I read a lot of superhero comics because I had to fantasize about having power because I had none, or at least I felt like I had none. Well, now I do. Now I have lots of power. And I want other people to realize that they have lots of power too. You know, you always hear people talking about giving up their power. Don't give up your power. No one gives up their power. No one can give up their power. It's impossible to give up your power. But you can stop using your power. And you can start listening to other people. You know, if anything I have said makes any sense or resonates with any of you out there, don't take it at my word. Reimagine it, reinterpret it, translate it into your own language, have it make sense for you relative to your own experience. And then if you're still inspired to take action, then take action. You know, the big superstars, Tony Robbins, Oprah Winfrey, they can only be experts in their own lives. They can only be gurus in their own lives. They don't know you. If you follow their blueprint and you see it all around you, people follow their blueprints all the time and they don't get the same result because they're different people. We have different relatives, different, you know, schooling, different belief systems, different clothes, different height, different teeth. I mean, there's so many differences that you can't expect the same thing to work for everybody. That's why you need to reimagine and reinterpret these things so that they fit into your mold. And you're the only expert. You're the only guru. So you're really the only person who can take what they've been influenced by or intrigued by or inspired by and make it work for you. But it's not going to work for you if you do what I tell you to do or if you do what someone else tells you to do. You have to listen to yourself. You know, a lot of people don't realize it, but you have a sensor system built into you that lets you know what's right for you and what's wrong for you. It's called your head, your heart, and your gut. Neurons, which are brain cells, actually live in your brain, in your heart, and in your gut. So trust your feelings, trust your instinct. Just don't emote on top of it. And what I mean by that is don't put emotions to get in the way. Trust your instinct that happens naturally without you thinking about it first. That's what the zone is, in my opinion. Do they still call it the zone, by the way, or am I dating myself?
No, it's still called the zone. And to me, the zone, I've been in it a couple times. I would say I could only describe it in playing basketball and everything else. It's more difficult for me to describe, like, the feeling of the zone. Yeah. I think in basketball, there's, and it's rare, it hasn't happened a long time. I just, anything I throw up, I just know it's going in, you know. Yeah. That's the zone. And running, maybe it's just when you, for a while, you just don't feel tired at all. You're just running free. Yeah. And I play so many different sports that I would say those are probably the easiest ones to describe the zone. But yeah, I've heard other people, like in football, say they just see everything slows down. And I went to study a little bit of NLP, and they talk about time slowing down. So everything just seems slower. The opponent, even if it's a fraction of a second, that's all they need to
get
that advantage.
Time doesn't exist, so it doesn't surprise me you can slow it down. Time is a perception. You know, look at it this way. Do you remember what you had for dinner last night?
I'd have to really think about it.
Okay, so when you think, when I asked you the question, when was it for you? It was now, right?
Right.
Right. And when you were chewing dinner last night, when was it?
Oh, that was yesterday.
It was yesterday that you're, but when you're thinking about chewing it, when are you thinking about it? You're thinking about it now because I just brought it up.
Right.
But when you were actually chewing the food, when was it for you, relatively speaking? It was now, because you can't chew in the past and you can't chew in the future, right? And you can't breathe in the past and you can't breathe in the future and you can't go number one or number two in the past, and you can't go number one or number two in the future, and you can't run in the past, and you can't run in the future. Mm-hmm. Everything you can do, you can only do now. And if you think about the past or you think about the future, when are you thinking about it? You're thinking about it now.
Now.
There is only now. That's all that has ever existed. That's all that ever will exist. Because you can only exist now. That's why I think so many people have issues and problems, because they're so worried about yesterday or what might come tomorrow. They don't take care of today, which is, of course, now. And now is the only time that you can actually influence, because, again, you can't do anything in the past and you can't do anything in the future. You can only do it now.
So, Maury, a lot of people, besides watching on the stream, and thank you, buddy, and in the audience, they, some of them just listen. So if anyone who's been listening to this wants to contact you, how can they get a hold of you? What's your website?
Well, they can get me directly at themaurymethod.com. So that would be T-H-E-M like Mary, O-R-R-Y, M like Mary, E, T like Tom, H like Harold, O like Oscar, D like Dennis. .com, or they can just do a search of my name. It turns up everywhere when they search my name, of course. I have a lot of different websites. Most of my products have their own websites where they live, so depending on what it is. The MauryMethod.com, though, has a nice array of things. It kind of explains the work. If you want to see where Dr. Bredesen found the original Revitamind program, you can go to ActiveMindsGlobal.com. And that's spelled just how it sounds, activemindsglobal.com. You know, I'm available 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. My phone number's on my sites. So if anyone has any questions or comments, I'm happy. If anyone has anything now, I'm happy to help out.
I do get some worldwide listeners. So you are in the Canadian time zone, correct?
Well, actually, Canada has 7 time zones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're one of the, I think we have one of the most time zones in the world, but I'm in the Eastern time zone. So, right now it'd be 11:30 something in the evening, but I routinely work till 2-3 every morning anyway. So this is nothing for me.
Well, I know the first time I heard about brainwave entrainment, or maybe I heard about it before, but kind of just brushed it off, was talking to you. And right away I thought about focus, that's light edge, peak performance, and I started dabbling with it here and there. And even now, maybe I'll do it like once a week. I'll throw on the headphones, but it's definitely something I want to do more and kind of try it out. And now that I'm doing the podcast, it's been going pretty good. I will kind of keep everybody updated with the results, what I'm feeling.
Excellent.
It's a good way for me to document it as well. Sure. And then we'll see about bringing you back, and then kind of maybe I'll test out that marathon one and see if.
Yeah, email me and ask me for it, and I will send it to you, because I actually just found it when we were looking. I remembered that I had come across it. I have a new business partner, and we're operating a site. It hasn't launched yet, but the basic product line is called Mind Trainer Pro, and it's all about peak performance states. Oh, nice. All kinds of different things. And we're starting off, I think there's only 3 products on the website now, but there's 7 products that will be there at launch, and it'll probably launch sometime next month. But I
want to check that one out. Yeah.
Yeah, but I do custom work for corporations, for sports teams. You know, people who are in slumps don't need to be in slumps. That's the whole thing. It's all a state of mind. People just kind of get railroaded by themselves. Your mind is incredibly powerful. The issue happens when we kind of lose control of it. It starts spiraling out of control. And the more it spirals out of control, the more we kind of feel like we're in a divot and we can't get out. But if you think about it this way, your performance is strictly based on your mindset. And if you ever performed well, you can always perform well. And if you're not performing well right now, what is it about what you're thinking that's getting in the way?
And then to everybody else, I would say, like Maury mentioned, do your research, look it up, go to Google Scholar or anywhere else that you find information. You might be limited everywhere else, but definitely look into it. There's something to it. That's why I have you on here. So thank you so much for taking time out of your evening.
Pleasure.
To be here with me, Maury. It was good talking to you. I'll reach out to you and we'll keep this going and we'll see how this can benefit other people. I know you're kind of focusing on other things, but I wanted to show the athletes on how they could use brainwave entrainment for themselves to either break down plays quicker or understand them better, or as well as for slowing down time, as crazy as all this sounds.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look, I currently have programs in sport for golf. I have a baseball mind trainer pro pitching edition and fielding edition, or is it batting? I'm not sure. I think it's actually fielding and batting. I have for pickleball, for tennis.
Oh, that's big right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm the only system now that helps to optimize pickleball.
Wow.
But so, we can do anything. You know, peak performance is peak performance. Anyone who performs can peak perform. It's simply a matter of understanding their brain and how to use it best. Just like anything else. You do certain exercises and certain stretches before you run. Because you know that these things will optimize your ability to run. Well, the brain and the mind are the same thing. There's things you can do to the brain and the mind to optimize them, so that you will perform better, you'll think faster, you'll be more in the zone. You know, all these, I mean, none of it is really rocket science. I mean, it's brain science, kind of, but it's not really rocket science. It's kind of common sense, really. When you get right down to it, it's pretty simple. And sometimes people complicate things, and that's just to make them sound important. But I'm not that smart. I just have a technology and a technique that helps you to help yourself, really.
Well, this subject is something we could definitely keep talking about. I know the more we talk, the more questions I have, but we'll leave the audience teasing a little bit and something to look forward to as well. That way they could be like, to some people, this is their first time kind of getting exposed to this. So they're like, what is all this? I'm going to have to check to see if this is an RBS. So kind of wanted to expose them to different ways of training, and we all know that our mind, even though some people say it's BS, but we know that we're definitely not tapping its full potential. So this is a one way where you could look into it for yourself and see, as Maury mentioned, check out his website. If you're checking out the replay on Fireside, the hyperlink will take you directly to his, I think that's your link tree, where you could find more of his information.
Samples and it has a radio show I used to do. So there's a lot of free information there.
And also, I will put all the information on the show notes on YouTube and the podcast. So anyone who wants to check it out, feel free to do so. And Maury, thank you once again for being here. I will reach out to you. Until next time, this has been Athletic Definition. Thank you, everybody.